most founders are getting it wrong. They think that I'm going to dump some numbers, I'm going to dump some features, I'm going to dump a $3 billion, you know, market slide. That's the absolute wrong way to go about it. Investors at the end of the day are humans just like you and me. You're not getting money in that meeting. You're not getting money in the first meeting. The purpose is to allow other people, the investor, to repeat it easily.
Welcome to the Entrepreneur's Logbook podcast. I'm your host, Zach Pinard. You can find me on social at It's Zach B. In each episode, I bring on experts from various industries for you to learn about their strategies and insights driving extreme business growth. The Entrepreneur's Logbook podcast is sponsored by Weave2PR, where we're dedicated to helping entrepreneurs build their thought leadership and business by booking them on podcasts and launching their own podcasts. Today, we're joined by Modi Elkaim, founder and CEO of Atlantic Brands, an agency that specializes in investor pitching, pitch deck design, fractional sample services, and public speaking workshop for emerging companies looking to scale. Modi is a fundraising and storytelling strategist who helps founders turn bold visions into investor-backed companies. He's the creator of the Pitch Cycle methodology, which has helped founders raise millions from investors that they've just met, and has since expanded this approach to help enterprise executives achieve organizational buy-in and execute their vision faster. Before launching his company, he led marketing and growth for global brand across luxury, CPG, and technology, scaling them to beyond $200 million in annual revenue and guiding them from a freemium model to multi-million dollar AR. He's also the host of the How to Sell Your Vision podcast, became a Medium top writer within just 1 month of publishing his Pitch Cycle article, and is a sought-after keynote speaker invited to lecture globally. Modi, it's great to have you on the show. Welcome aboard.
Zach, thank you so much for having me. Man, I wish my mother would have heard this intro.
Fair enough. Well, you deserve it. And one of the things I always like to ask, like anyone comes on the show, you obviously know it's a business entrepreneurship type podcast. People want to learn how to become better. And you've obviously been in the space for a little while. And I'd love to hear, if you had to restart your company from scratch, knowing like everything that you know today, what's like the one thing that you would do differently that you feel a lot of entrepreneurs, founder get totally wrong?
Yeah, that's a great question. Excuse me, to start, I think that, you know, when you start a business, your resources are limited and you need to understand where are you gonna invest your money and when you're gonna do it yourself. And one of the hardest questions founders need to ask themselves is, okay, is this allocation of resources will scale my business or will it hold me back if I'm going to do it myself? And that's a very hard question for many founders because they want to hold tight to the resources. No one wants to spend money at the beginning. But
yeah,
if you are an amazing product person and you're not so great at pitching, let's say, for instance, you're not so great at storytelling, then spending your time learning how to do it will divert your energy, your knowledge, your magic from what it is that you're truly good at. So examine two things as you're kind of starting your business is one, understand where you matter most and understand who can drag you to where you need to be with minimal resources. And the understanding that you cannot do anything by yourself is critical. I mean, I love the hustle. I love the early days hustle, but in my early days, if I had someone with extreme expertise, extreme knowledge that I could bring on by my side, which will allow me to do my magic, I think I could have scaled the company much faster. So know where to direct your resources. That's a very, very important thing to understand early on.
I love that. And I feel that brings me to, I had a conversation with someone on the podcast probably a couple months ago, but he mentioned knowing what your creative genius is and focusing on that specifically, and the rest, whether you delegate it to hire people, you get an expert to do it. Like, you need to know what you're good at, and then the rest push like the resources in like the right directions from what I'm hearing.
Exactly. So you have kind of this energy meter. We all have our energy meter, right? Sometimes it's full, sometimes it's empty. Now, it's hard enough to start a business these days. It's hard enough to be a founder. You need your energy meter to be high. If you're going to drive your energy into areas of work that you're not good at, and I'm not saying don't push yourself out of your comfort zone, but if you're going to put yourself in tasks that are not that doesn't come naturally to you, you're going to get negative feedback. And it's fine, but that negative feedback is going to bring your energy down. And when you're going to go back to what you're really good at, you're going to start with a low energy bar and you'll have to pick it up all the way. So there is something that I love to call return on energy. Focus on the things that will bring back the energy that will allow you to move forward. Allocate the resources to all the other tasks that are going to drain you, that you don't want to do yourself. For instance, I am very bad at designing. Okay, I have amazing designers working in my agency. I can direct them very well. But if I try to save a buck, right, and go with an AI tool and try to create all the designs by myself, great. I'm going to have to go through a learning curve. The output that I'm going to get is not going to be great, and I'm going to be frustrated because I'm wasting time. Is it better at this point to allocate some resources to get a good designer and help me run faster? I think so. And that allows me to focus on the part of the business that I know very well.
I love that. Return on energy. I like that. That's like the first time I've heard of that. Yeah, like the return on investment, but you're not thinking of what is your like most important resource. It's obviously time, but the energy is like a big component within that. So that's a good one. I love that. Yeah,
thank you.
And just like shifting a bit more towards, because obviously you talked about getting the resources, knowing like when you should be working with someone, an expert, when it's maybe not like your core area of competency. One of the things I'd love to understand is when you go and you work with the founder, they're getting ready to pitch an investor. Maybe they're not too shy to do it. They go to you, they want an expert, they want someone that knows what they're doing. What does like that process kind of look like from the moment they reach out to you to the moment that they walk into like that first investor meeting? I'd love to get a better understanding in there.
Yeah. So a lot of founders typically come to me after they got disappointed. They've done their first run with ChatGPT, they've done their first run by themselves, and they realize that today's market is really, really tough, and they're not able to convert the meetings. So what I try to understand when founders are coming into me, and it's a very big exercise, especially with founders, is to understand what is the one true differentiator of their business. Every business can do a lot of things. Every product has a lot of layers to it. But I'm trying to understand is why you and why now? And synthesize that into a very powerful narrative that brings an emotional connection into the pitch. Look, the way I look at investor pitching is that I always divide them to two. There is the first part, which is the connection. You have to connect with the investor in front of you. And then there is the second part, the business validation. Most founders are getting it wrong. They think that, okay, I have a meeting with an investor. I have to impress the investor right now. Let me go straight to business validation. I'm going to dump some numbers. I'm going to dump some features. I'm going to dump a $3 billion, you know, market slide, and I'm going to wow the investor. That's the absolute wrong way to go about it. Investors, at the end of the day, are humans just like you and me. Their decision-making process, and despite the fact that we see them as old, you know, margin calculating machines, they're humans just like us. They want to be entertained, they want to understand, and they want to get it fast. Now, if you ask an investor, they'll tell you, look, the first thing that we invest in is a founder. They always say the same thing. We invest in founders first. So if they invest in you first, what do you want to do? You want to connect to them, right? So let's establish that connection through a powerful storyline that brings the purpose of the company, why you started it, what problem are you solving, but delivering it in a purposeful story that allows your audience to connect to you. Once there is a connection, then you can move to business validation. That flip is where most founders get, you know, get failed. They fail because they just go for the numbers.
That's interesting because I feel like when you look at a B2B context, like you don't think too much about like the emotion side of things when you're selling like a service or anything like that. But when you're thinking in like B2C, for example, there's like much more like emotions involved with the consumers and everything. But it's the same concept when you're trying to sell an idea to like a VC, angel investor or anything. You need to get them to really buy into the story, be able to like get the emotion, they understand really the value on what you do before you get into like the technical, the validation, the traction that you've had and everything. And it sounds like a lot of people got it like completely backward. they just dive into like the numbers, like the MRR projected ARR that they think they're going to have in like the next like couple months. But that's not the way to go about it.
Backward. You know, Don Valentine, the founder of Sequoia Capital, he said, the reason founders don't get funded is that because they don't know how to tell their story, right? It's as simple as that. And this is the godfather of VC investment, right? And when you're coming into the room, right, and you're pitching, and if founders and if investors, and you hear it all the time, they say, we invest in founders first, regardless of the round, we invest in founders first. Mm-hmm. If you're coming into the room and you sound like everyone else, and you pitch like everyone else with the same language, you know, I always like to say it to new founders as they come in, avoid the we revolutionize, we reinvent, we reimagine, we redefine. Because all you have to do is, all you're doing at the end of the day is recycling. Mm-hmm. And now the word of the day is moat. Everyone is talking about moat. What is our moat? Forget it. Mm-hmm. Come in as you are, common sense, common language, deliver your story, allow the person in front of you to connect. If you would have had this conversation with your grandma, you wouldn't say moat, right? Don't do it with an investor. Just go in and speak like the human being that you are.
Yeah. I love that. And I mean, you're pretty vocal about like the traditional like pitch deck template, like being dead, where everyone uses like the same thing. They put the same numbers and everything like that. Can you like somewhat break down like what kind of has changed in like the fundraising space that's made the old approach like ineffective? And there's also like this pitch cycle method that you've created. I'd love to hear what that kind of looks like in practice and how founders can apply it to their
risks. Yeah, you're referring to my Medium article, The Pitch Deck Template is Dead.
Yes.
Introducing the pitch cycle. I encourage everyone to read it. Look, investors see 500 decks a day and they meet with about 300 founders. 500 decks a month and they meet with about 300 founders a month. Mm-hmm. Now imagine that everyone is coming in and they are going with the same flow, problem, solution, traction, demo. You're going to get the investor in front of you numbed.
Yeah.
Because they realize that everything and is being said in the same way by everyone. Mm-hmm. And using the same lingo as well, we spoke about redefining, reinventing. Instead of it, you need to go above the noise, above the threshold. To me, the investor in front of you is an audience that you have to entertain. So first and foremost, you have to capture their imagination. Mm-hmm. Okay? With a purposeful story that includes in it the problem, the solution, the audience, the market size, all in one second. And you know what? Rather than going very theoretical about it, how about I'll show you how I did it with a high net worth individual that invested in a company within 5 minutes after I finished the pitch. How would if you do that?
Oh, love that.
Okay. So let me tell you a story. Speaking of storytelling, I was at a dinner once and I said to this high net worth individual. And she told me, she asked me, so Moti, what do you do for a living? I said, well, I can tell you what I do for a living, or I can tell you a story. Which one do you prefer? And she said, okay, let's go for a story. I said, fine, I'll tell you a story. At that time, I was working for a company called Carbyne. And Carbyne allowed people who call 911 for the first time to communicate via text. So I told it to the person next to me and I told her the following story. I said, you know, 2 weeks ago in Stark County, Ohio, a 911 call was received in the center. The dispatcher said, 911, what's your emergency? There was no answer on the other line. As protocol dictates, he went again, 911, what's your emergency? There is no answer on the other line. Last time before he hangs up, he goes, 911, what's your emergency? And then he hears heavy breathing. He hears heavy breathing on the other side and he realized the person is in danger. They cannot communicate. So he decided to use Carbyne's platform and he sent this person a text saying, 911, what's your emergency? The woman on the other line responded, my husband who got severely drunk beat me and forced me to bed. Please come to the rescue. Through Carbyne's technology, they got the exact location. They came to the house. The dispatcher told her police is on the way. Now, the resilience of that woman was amazing. She said, please, no sirens. I don't want him to wake up. So he texted her back and he said, no sirens, I promise. Police arrived. They surrounded the house. The 911 call taker is texting her, where in the house are you? And she replies, second floor, right to the stairs. SWAT officers are coming in, going to the right of the stairs, and the dispatcher is asking her, and he's typing, on the count of three, will you be able to stand and run out? She says yes. And like in a Hollywood movie, you go, he types 3, 2, 1, go. As soon as he hits go, he gives the order to the SWAT officers to go in. She runs out, they pull her, grab the husband without a single fire being shot. I looked at the woman next to me and I told her, imagine what would have happened to that lady if she didn't have the ability to text 911. And at that dinner, she said, Moti, I'm in. And 2 weeks later, without even meeting the CEO of the company, after due diligence, she invested a hefty amount of money. And when I say a hefty amount of money, I don't mean $300,000. I mean a hefty amount of money. So when you're telling a purposeful story, like just like the one I did, and I argue that you can do it for every company. It doesn't have to be a life-saving company like Carbyne. Yeah. You bring in the problem, the solution, the audience, the target market, all in one. But you do something that is way more powerful because no one today likes to read. No one likes to go over pitch decks and read information. But what we do like is to visualize. And when you allow the investor in front of you to visualize your product, to visualize the process transformation you bring to the market, boom, everything hits. Your goal, when you're coming to a meeting with an investor, is to help them visualize and tell a story. Now, why are stories so critical in investor pitching? You know, most founders, when they get into the room, they think they're there to raise money. They're wrong. You're not getting money in that meeting, unless you are a super, super, super unique in what you've done and you came up with a way to solve world hunger within a second. You're not getting money in the first meeting.
Yeah.
But the reason storytelling is so important, because the way investments are done in VCs is that the investor that is sitting in front of you has to repeat your story to the other partners as they argue which company to add to the portfolio. So the purpose of your story is not to raise money.
Yeah.
Is to allow other people, the investor, to repeat it easily. And if you're going to bombard them with Excel sheets, if you're going to bombard them with product features, guess what? They're not going to remember it.
Yeah.
And if they can't remember it, they're not going to pitch it. You have to make their lives easier.
No, and I mean, just like the way that you framed it, like I feel like I could probably re-say the story that you've told, and I could imagine it, like the 3, 2, 1, while you were saying it, like I could visualize that. And I feel like that's the effect of like storytelling when you go about creating a very good story and conveying it to like investors or just someone like dinner, like a high net worth individual. And something I'd be really curious to like understand, because a lot of founders nowadays, you might be speaking to someone who's really like product driven. They don't have that marketing background, branding, storytelling, speaking, or anything like that. How do you go about like teaching them, like how to effectively communicate, to really tell their story effectively? Because I feel that's probably a big like point where a lot of founders might struggle to effectively convey that, like those 5 points into like a very easy story.
You're touching upon a very important problem, because many founders are uber obsessed and rightfully so with their product. They're in love with their product, right? Mm-hmm. More than that, because there is so much pressure on their shoulders thinking that they have to get the investment, it's hard for them to understand what needs to stay in and what can be left out. So typically the ones that I can really help are the ones, as I said at the beginning of the session, that understand they have a gap that they need help covering. And they typically failed a few times and they'll come and say, look, the investor doesn't understand my market. They don't understand my technology. They don't understand. No. You don't understand pitching.
Yeah.
And once you internalize it, then the shift is going to come. And that's a very important understanding to have, because again, there is a concept in storytelling, not in storytelling really, it's in the human decision-making process. And it was discussed in the book Brain Rules by John Medina, who is a neuropsychologist from the University of Michigan. And he calls this concept meaning over details. the human brain doesn't have the ability to process details unless it have context first. So let's go back to the Carbine story. Imagine if at that dinner, I would have told that lady, look, I work for Carbine. It's a tech company that uses cloud services to communicate with people who call 911 for the first time without the requirement of an app, and they can send text both sides for real life communications. Okay, whoa. Yeah. Zero. Great product description, zero connection, because I didn't understand the meaning first. So when I work with product-oriented founders, I try to explain it to them, you know, how you have to bring the investor into your world. And it's great that you're a product person, but if the person in front of you is not a product person, you need to understand how to bridge the gap.
That's really interesting. I never thought about it this way. I mean, I knew storytelling was involved in like pitching, but the way that you've described it with the story, making it like catchy where someone's going to remember it, like tell it to someone else. I mean, that's like the first time I've heard of that. So I appreciate touching on to that. And for like any founders, owners, CEOs that they're looking to raise capital, they're looking to go to investors, maybe they've never done it before. They haven't gone to that like failing stage, which obviously every one of us will at some point, but they want to like have a better understanding how to approach storytelling, how to approach pitching investors. Is there maybe two, three bullet points that you would give to any founder, owner, like today on how they should approach doing it more effectively versus like the old pitch template and structure that a lot of people use, which obviously doesn't work very well.
Yeah. So there are two questions you must answer and one rule you must follow. Okay. The two questions you must answer when you're building your pitch is why you and why now? Allow me to understand why you're so obsessed with a problem that you're describing, and why is there market urgency for the problem you're trying to solve? So investors really connect to founders who have lived the pains they're trying to solve, because that gives you the market knowledge, the understanding of what it takes to really solve it. So that's one. The other thing is follow the rule of one. What is the rule of one? Because there are so many things that founders want to put into a pitch, but follow the rule of one. The rule of one says one problem, one audience, one solution. Okay. Narrow it down to the point that you decided that this is the most important thing you want to communicate. Once you have done that, tell your story on how you came up with the idea and why you want to start the company through the lens of the rule of one, why you and one and why now. You're not going to be a perfect storyteller, and that's actually a great advantage if you're not a perfect storyteller, because I want to connect to your passion. I want to connect to your grief. I want to connect to your authenticity. And it doesn't matter if you have an accent like I do. It doesn't matter if English is not your first language. If you're coming in with conviction and focus and you walk the investor through why you're doing it, why you're doing it now in a focused way, you'll nail it.
I love that. Because like, if you bring the authentic side of things to the conversation, directly an investor can like say like, okay, like he's really involved in the mission, fixing that problem, maybe to live that exact problem that he's trying to fix, as opposed to maybe sounding like very scripted around like the entire like storytelling component. But obviously once you get good at storytelling, you can infuse yourself in any conversation. Makes your life easier here. But no, I love that. So like the two question that you mentioned.
Why you, why now?
And then the rule of one.
And then the rule of one. One problem, one audience, one solution.
I love that.
Wrap all of that into a story as to why you started your company. Why is it so important to solve it now? And focus on one thing. Don't go and try to solve everything. It's going to dilute your story. And this is extremely important for your storytelling part, because again, investors invest in founders first. They want to connect to you. I don't know, you probably heard this before. Investors are saying, I can know within a minute if I'm going to invest in a person or not. But think about this statement. Yeah. It's a very powerful statement. I know within a minute if I'm going to invest in you or not. Mm-hmm. Within a minute, I cannot go over the market size, projection, financial model, demo, whatever it is. I cannot do all of that within a minute.
No.
The one thing I can do within a minute is to tell you a story and increase the chances of us connecting.
Mm-hmm.
First, so if you have that 1 minute, exactly, if you have that 1 minute, go for connection and drive the business validation later.
I love that. Well, this is great. I actually learned quite a lot in this conversation.
I'm happy to hear that.
A lot of people like marketing, branding, and I'm a big fan of like storytelling too, seeing we do quite a lot of stuff with podcasts, but I didn't think about it the way with like pitch deck, like pitching to investors and like bring that component. So no, that was great. Really appreciate you like coming on the show. And I know you have said your own podcast, you have the article that you mentioned, we'll add in like the show notes, but for anyone that wants to get in touch with you, is there anywhere specific that they should be looking at here or?
Yeah, feel free to reach out through LinkedIn, Moti Elkaim, or go through our website, atlanticbrands.co. And you can reach out. I encourage everyone who is in their fundraising process to Google Moti Elkaim Medium, and then you'll see all of my articles. Feel free to read through them. I share my knowledge for free over there.
I love it. Great. Well, you heard that, everyone. Head over to atlanticbrands.co if you want to learn more. To our listeners, if you've enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, review the podcast, and you can also find more insights at wefeature.com, where we're dedicated to helping entrepreneurs build their thought leadership in business by getting them on podcasts and launching their own podcasts. Until then, keep pushing, and we'll see you in the next one.
Thank you so much, Zach.